You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Risk on today, huh?
Yeah, we saw quite a bit of buying interest come in from about 8:30 on to really give the market some boost. Going into midday, the guys estimated the funds bought over 9,000 contracts of corn, about 4,000 wheat, 10,000 contracts of beans, 3,000 meal, and about 5,000 contracts of bean oil, which is a pretty good day on the buy side. You know, when you look at sort of the fundamental picture and the technical picture, you can sort of see why the interest is back there, again, to get some ownership back on, Dave.
And how long will this ownership last?
Well, probably till tomorrow. Tomorrow's turnaround Tuesday. There might be some disaster in the world to give us reason to correct some. But if you believe in the cycle counts and the momentum indicators, these lows we saw here last week should hopefully hold here for at least 2 to 3 weeks. Not to say we can go down 2 or 3 cents every day, but when you look at the chart, we are halfway back up to the high in the corn. We've been back there November 28th, almost halfway back up to the high here in the beans that we recorded here around December 17th. So we're looking at a little bit of resistance coming in here. It'd be healthy if we could see a little correction here over the next day or two to sort of alleviate the short-term overbought status here and sort of confirm the breakout and try to grind sideways to higher here. And that's, you know, as a producer, that's what we want to see here, at least going into February here, is a lot of these crop insurance policies are determined off the average price of February.
Well, you seem to be in the camp that we will grind sideways to higher and perhaps punch out. If you look at the March to contract right now, we're getting stopped out in a resistance level at the 100-day moving average. We punch a number like that out. Do you think that we could even challenge the top of the channel that we've seen oh so many times around 767?
I'm not quite that bullish. I think we've got to take one step at a time. The green line has crossed the red line, and ownership needs to be put on. But in order to go up that level or higher, we're going to have to see a continued extended dry pattern in the southern hemisphere. We're going to have to continue to see Asia come forward and get some ownership back on the books here. So there's several things that need to fall in place, which could give reason to go up to those downtrend lines or channel lines or some higher resistance level. I'd like to take sort of one step at a time. If you turn back the calendar machine here and go back a week ago, most anyone that was optimistic or needing to sell something would have given anything to see a move like we've seen here in the last two trading days. So, the trade was not interested in ownership of the grains going into year end and even the first week of trade here. Now all of a sudden that interest is back in, so I think we need to keep an eye on that and take advantage of it on an upward move here, Dave.
So we're halfway in the corn chart to 767. Over in the soybean chart, we're halfway to a move that would put you around $15, $15.01. If you had to make a pick of one, which is the one that's more likely to have legs, and why?
Well, two different markets, and it's kind of, and I think they're both going to take turns of being bullish and bearish. The bean market, is going to be heavily traded on news out of the southern hemisphere, and also news out of demand out of Asia. Those are going to be the two driving forces in the bean complex. Whereas corn is sort of a dead dog here. We've got an extremely tight situation, but yet the export demand for corn has virtually gone to almost zero. So we're in a situation where if corn's going to move higher here, we're going to have to see some renewed export interest in corn. And also, too, we're going to need to keep an eye on the weather here. If this weather remains somewhat calm here this winter. We don't see a real cold blast take place. Ideas are feed use could be on the light side this winter here. And even in corn, we've got a bullish old crop situation and a bearish new crop situation. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, old crop stocks are going to stay at pipeline levels. I don't foresee a huge sell-off in old corn. The fact that there is some demand out there domestically, and that's going to provide support to corn. Whereas new crop, the fear is if we go ahead and have plenty of acres, and if the weather cooperates, we could push that carryout number sharply higher on new crop corn as we go into the new crop year.
Could be that wheat is the sleeping giant in the shorter term, though.
Well, you're correct, because if you look at the big picture, when we had the short corn crop, a lot of users switched over to wheat. A lot of feed wheat was around. That feed wheat is gone. And even though wheat is raised in every country of the world, we're not seeing ideal conditions again in this wheat growing region. So as we move into spring, wheat's going to be really dependent on the weather. The potential there is have a big wheat crop, especially domestic in the eastern belt. We saw confirmation. We have a lot more soft red winter wheat acres here in the east. But the western belt still remains questionable with their weather. And if weather's not ideal, wheat could be the next market here after the bean market here this winter.
And if you want to be long and you don't like wheat, maybe you'd like livestock.
There's a little bit for everybody
out
there. And we're going to have an outlook meeting with Hightower and Steve Free tomorrow night over here at Normal, and they're going to give us all kinds of outlook on all these different commodities. Everybody's more than welcome to stop by.
Where is that meeting if people want to come by?
7 o'clock, Normal West High School on the west side of town there. They do a real good job on different marketing and trading ideas. And I know you have them as guests on your program there every now and then, so feel free to stop by. No reservation required.
And do you like the livestock on the long side?
It's I think the fat market has a lot of support in this 125, 128 level. I believe one can have ownership on there, but once we get in that 130 to 4, 135, that's the upper end there, we're still looking at historically tight numbers. And I know the presentation tomorrow night is going to hint on the idea that this per capita consumption of beef here in the U.S. has no bottom to it. It's just dropped severely, and the beef market is continuing to work on the idea that exports are strong. So as long as we have beef exports strong, and if we can run into some adverse weather this spring here, late winter, early spring, and we feel the beef market's going to run back up towards the 135 area.
One quick other thing before we let you go.
Sure.
What do you got?
On what now?
I said one other quick thing before we let you go. What do you got?
On which?
Your pick.
My pick. I'm with you now.
Ah, yes.
We feel a lot of these markets are in trading ranges. One other thing we like is the crude oil market. We figure the energy market, they're expecting some bigger inventories on the energy. If we see that big inventory come out and crude oil drops back down into this $87, $85 level, we feel to buy or to sell back up towards this $96, $98 level.
Thank you, Kurt.
All right, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.